Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Neat or on the rocks? It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
I think it's the way that our guys have handled it, obviously from the top, just making sure that we're practicing the right way. Obviously coming off two losses, you know, it's been lingering with us. So wanting to come out here and put our best foot forward, and I think tonight we did that.
Josh, do you feel like coming off to be a loser to any win would be a good win? But does it feel like this was kind of a get-right day for you guys as a team as well?
I mean, the way that we won, for sure. I think, again, the exciting part is that there is a lot to clean up and a lot to improve on and really to be excited about where this team can go.
Sean McDermott remains undefeated coming out of the bye. Josh Allen also undefeated in his career coming out of the bye as the Bills put it on Carolina 40-9. We welcome in Dan Fates, 13 Wham, and Buffalo Plus into the Sports Bar. It was the thing that I thought they needed to do during their bye week, Dan, get back to basics, win the trenches, run the football, dominate on the ground. We saw them do it earlier this season, but not at that level. This felt like either Carolina was woefully unprepared or the Bills were playing at a different level yesterday.
Yeah, I think the Bills played pissed off. I think that was heading into this week. I had said on the Buffalo Plus podcast that this game was not a must win. It was a must cover. I said it was a must dominate. I said it was a must win by two scores because of the circumstances. Because I thought, you know, they said the Patriots game was a wake-up call that apparently they slept right through because they laid another egg in Atlanta. So the way that they played against Carolina and the defense, and we can get into all of that stuff in a little bit, like, I don't think that the Bills are any more Super Bowl contenders than what I thought, you know, 2 weeks ago. But what it showed me is that not all buys are created equal and not each team uses them to the same advantage. Good coaches use bye weeks to their advantage. And Sean McDermott has proven that. And they looked like the team that's the standard. And Sean kind of alluded to that. So did Josh after the game, that this is the standard they expected to play. They knew that, you know, statistically, Carolina had a pretty good run defense. It didn't matter. They were the team for the first time in 3 weeks was really the one that was dictating the play. You know, they weren't trying to counter what defenses were doing to them. They weren't worried about even having answers for the questions that Carolina was trying to bring at them defensively. It was just, hey, we're going to run the ball down your face and there's nothing you can do about it. And that was refreshing to see.
Yeah, Dan, a couple of players making their debut here, one being Maxwell Harrison. I was kind of surprised, pleasantly surprised. Okay, he's ready to go. And then also Jordan Hancock, who got some meaningful minutes there at the safety position, had a big play there preventing a touchdown. Your thoughts on those two guys, and should we expect to see their percentage snaps go up here against Kansas City?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean this not sarcastically, but why not? Like, we saw what the Bills defense was without these guys. Like I said, I remember a few weeks ago, like I said, when they signed Jordan Poyer to the practice squad, I was like, really? Like, Jordan Poyer, that's what we're going to do? And then midway through the Atlanta game, I went, screw it, put Poyer in. Like, what, like we know what we have. The Bills have seen what they have in the secondary. They know the issues, what they have with the guys that were out there. So I'm all for changing it up, trying something new. You know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So I applaud Sean McDermott and Bobby Babich or whoever's calling the plays, or whether it's a joint collaboration at this point. The fact that they went through, did the film work and saw, hey, this isn't working, so let's try and get Max out there. Maybe that was kind of the light tune-up for the Chiefs game, because we all, Mike, Jenna, and myself, all thought it would be the Miami game that we would see Harrison. So obviously he felt good enough, and the Bills thought, this was the right time to use him. And they kind of used him in the sense of what Trey White was like when he was coming back from his ACL injury, kind of splitting series. But he looked good, made a tackle. He said after the game he felt good. So all of those were encouraging signs.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that it was Carolina that he saw his first action. But I think about it, I pegged him for starting against Kansas City. I felt when the Bills drafted him in the first round, they drafted him with a specific purpose.
Yeah.
It was speed, to match the speed that you're going to need to beat teams like Cincinnati, teams certainly like Kansas City. So I thought for sure we would see him come up on Sunday here against the Chiefs, but a little bit of a ramp leading up to it isn't a bad thing. I mean, overall, did you see Harrison perform at a level higher than what we saw out of Trey White through the first part of the season? I mean, it looked like when he was in there, he was making impactful plays, and he wasn't putting himself in any sort of he wasn't a liability out there, I should say.
Yeah, and it's going to be tough, guys, to try and objectively grade the Bills' defense. Like, you're going to see things this week of the Bills' pass rush numbers and seven sacks and all these things. It's going to be tough to objectively say, is it the Bills' defense got things together, or was Andy Dalton really that bad?
Sure.
Because he was really, really bad. So I don't know how much I'm going to take from this game and say, oh, guys, relax. The Bills' defense is figured out, because Andy Dalton was horrendous. I mean, rookie mistakes taking sacks when you couldn't, and he's a veteran. Like, that is why he's a backup in Carolina and why Bryce Young should be playing. So there was the thought of, oh, no, the Bills are now going to have to face Andy Dalton. This is going to be bad. So it's tough for me to sit there and say, hey, Michael Hoyt had a sack and a half and all these things, and Greg Rousseau and Joey Bosa. Like, I'm having trouble trying to compartmentalize what I saw and then in the circumstances of Andy Dalton. So Max looks good. Carl Jones from WIVB in Buffalo did a breakdown of most of his snaps. His coverage looked good. He looked quick. He was still wearing some type of brace, which was pretty impressive, because everybody I had heard that corners couldn't play with a brace in the NFL. So all of those things were encouraging to see for sure. I just think we have to put it in the scope of Andy Dalton was horrendous yesterday.
Yeah, that is for sure. Dan Fates, Buffalo Plus 13 Wham, joining us. Horrific yesterday. Oh, Ed Oliver, torn bicep.
Yeah.
Not official yet, but I think we can kind of not count on him for the rest of the regular season. So how do the Bills go about this? Are you one for promoting perhaps a Jordan Phillips, a Zion Logue, or should the Bills kind of look beyond right now what is here on the roster in Buffalo?
I think no matter what, they have to look beyond the roster in Buffalo. Jordan Phillips had a sack. I think we know what Jordan Phillips is. Zion Logue's been actually decent at times, whether, he's already had his elevation. So kind of figuring out where that goes. A name that keeps getting brought up that really excites me is the thought of Calais Campbell. I know he's like 100 years. He's Catalana's age. But he is a large human being that can not only defend the run, but get after the quarterback. He takes up, like, it'd be fun for me personally to see Calais Campbell lined up next to Deion Walker and see what those two large human beings could do, because they're going to need to have some help. We're still unsure about Daquan Jones, where he is. It doesn't seem like it's IR, but who knows when he'll come back. So I think they have to look elsewhere to address some more of these defensive line issues. By the way, Greg Olsen was so good on the broadcast yesterday.
Always, like, is.
Phenomenal. Like, that's the A-team. Like, he taught me something every single snap, and it was so simple, the little things that he was teaching. And he talks about how the Bills run defense, how 50% of the plays are either no gain or a loss, a tackle for a loss, or it's an explosive run. Like, it is feast or famine with this Bills run defense. So I still think that there needs to be something to address. Obviously, I think there's a bunch of names that will be thrown out there, but Calais Campbell's only owed like $2 million. I think half of it would go to the new team. It's a one-year deal. This is probably his last season. I know he's talked before about not wanting to play in a cold-weather city, but this could be his goodbye as another Super Bowl run possibly for him.
All right, Dan, so if we're going to talk about trade deadline targets, and obviously on the offensive side of the ball, it's been weeks we've been talking about these wide receivers who can't get their separation, and what's up with Josh, and Josh doesn't look right, and is it the receivers? You could say it's the receivers. The same guys as last year, and he was an MVP. So, you know, whether it's the body language on the sideline in the Atlanta game, I mean, he didn't need to be Superman yesterday when you have James Cook running all over the place, but what's your take on where Josh Allen is right now at this stage of the season? Do you think that the Superman cape comes out when it's absolutely needed? Because I'm fine with that if they keep running the ball the way they did.
Yeah, and Olsen talked about it, though, yesterday. It is tough to put together 13, 14 play drives and be explosive. Like, it just is. And so while for years I have been team don't run the ball, that was my big thing for years, and now all of a sudden the Bills over the last, you know, since Joe Brady took over, have had one of the best running games in the NFL. That's great, but you've also hadn't been able to sprinkle in Josh Allen magic. And you talk about the Atlanta game and the body language. It looked to me when I was there in Atlanta that Josh doesn't trust any of his wide receivers. That's what it looks like to me. And so if you want to say, and I know ESPN or somebody was doing breakdowns of it today, that, you know, he's bailing too early, or maybe it was NFL Network. I think it was Kurt Warner. Was like, well, he's escaping too early. It's because he doesn't trust anybody's going to be open. And it's when you think about what Josh is always so buttoned up at press conferences, but there are times when, like, the real truth, unfilteredness comes out, and I go back to the Patriots game. And Dalton Kincaid had that 106-yard game. And somebody asked him, what was Dalton Kincaid doing that made him so successful? And he said, winning his one-on-ones. That means other guys are not winning one-on-ones. So think about what Josh is saying there about Dalton Kincaid, who has been phenomenal in the passing game. The problem is, and I've talked about it before on the Buffalo Plus channel, when Dalton Kincaid's in there, they don't run the ball. It's like 78% of the snaps that Dalton Kincaid is out there, the Bills throw the ball. Sean McDermott wants to be a balanced, two-dimensional offense. That's not really happening with Dalton Kincaid. That's why you saw so much Jackson Hawes yesterday. That's why you saw so much Dawson Knox. Because when those guys are in there, they're able to run the ball and, theoretically, pass the ball. So they're kind of in this in-between phase where their best pass catcher is probably Dalton Kincaid, but they can't really have him out there when they want to run the ball, which is what they're doing best. So it's a tricky situation of how you try and balance that out. So I don't know what the exact fix is, but it just, to me, looks like Josh doesn't trust any of his receivers to get open. And when he's made the turnovers and mistakes, it's been a little bit of that, well, screw it, I'm going to throw it in there anyway, into tight windows, and it gets intercepted. But Keon Coleman's been non-existent since the fourth quarter of the Baltimore game. He's been a disappointment. Elijah Moore's been fine. Curtis Samuel hasn't really been done much, and then you have Khalil Shakir, who is the Yak King, but besides that, it's been a slog, you know, offensively in this passing game.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great. But all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Yeah, Dan, going back to the defense, and I agree with you. It's like, okay, all those numbers are great. What does it really mean? I guess we'll table that now. And it's kind of along those same lines with, hey, there's Sean McDermott actually calling plays, or was he calling plays, or whatever it is. I mean, there's a lot of different angles. Danger says, oh, this is great. Well, not to put words in your mouth, Danger, but I'm kind of rather have my head coach kind of thinking big picture, game management, all that sort of stuff here. So are you fine, Dan, if Sean McDermott ends up taking back the play caller reins here?
Yeah, I am. It's been ugly, you know, going back to even a little bit at the end of last season where this defense really wasn't clicking. And even going back to all of last year, the Bills lived and died by turnovers. They didn't get off the field on third downs. They did not force punts. They gave the ball up, or they took the ball away, or they gave up points. That's tough to live that way, especially in the postseason, going up against the best quarterbacks, the best offenses that don't turn the ball over. So that's where I'm kind of trying to balance that, because Sean McDermott cut his teeth on this defense. They were pretty good when he called them 2 years ago when Leslie Frazier, you know, abruptly retired and kind of left the team. He obviously wanted to get back more to the big picture stuff. But I remember talking to Sean at the NFL Combine the 1 year, and he's like, yeah, it was fun to be back in those defensive meetings. Like, that's what he did. That was how he made his money and his name in the NFL. So I don't know how much collaboration it really is. I think it's also interesting that Sean makes that point after a win and a great defensive showing, and he didn't say that after Atlanta. I think that was some timely post-game tidbits that he dropped in. I think that was interesting. But maybe we'll get a little bit more of a clarity, because I think that surprised everybody after the game yesterday when he was like, oh, yeah, I've been doing it. We've been doing it together. And it's like, oh, that's new, because you said that you had all the confidence in the world in Bobby and that everything's fine. So we'll maybe hopefully get more of a clarity. Sean's supposed to talk to the media around 4 o'clock today.
Yeah, actually, my point was I don't have a problem with it. I feel like that's leadership. He's in that role. He is the head coach. Bobby Babich is his disciple, like he was once a disciple, and he needs to learn. And if that means McDermott has to get his hands dirty for a period of time to help him along, or to help him navigate and understand, like, this is what happens when you call this, or this is what this person, it's just the knowledge that he has through experience and reps that Babich is learning. But for him to be in there, it doesn't bother me that McDermott is calling plays. That to me feels like leadership from McDermott.
Yeah, I'm with you, Danger. Like, I just see it as, hey, where are we lacking and how can I help? And obviously Sean's forgotten probably more about defensive coaching than we'll ever know. And if he can give just a little bit more to Bobby, it's interesting, because you always think about, well, this play and that play. Like, things happen so fast in an NFL game. And I would kill to one day just be tapped into the headsets and to hear the conversations that go on. It would be the greatest thing to get to hear inside the helmets and to hear inside the headsets of what is actually going on. So I'm interested if it's Sean giving him advice, whether it's what he's seeing, whether he's calling the plays, whether he's calling the third downs, whether Bobby's calling first and second. I don't know. And again, maybe we'll get some clarity, but I'm with you, Danger. Anything to help turn this defense around after what we saw for the last 3.5 weeks.
Well, I mean, you could buy an NFL team or have one gifted to you, like the Colts owner there. She puts on the headset, listens in.
That would be, well, you guys want to go in?
Bills need to make it an auction item. I'd say that. If the Bills made it an auction item, like one of these fundraisers that you go to here in Rochester on the weekend, it's like, you have the chance to be on the sideline with Dan Fates and Sean McDermott. Listen in on every single call. We can make that happen. We gotta
totally
sell that to them. Yeah.
Yeah. Chiefs week. Here we go. Dan, finish the sentence. The Bills beat the Chiefs because the Bills had to do what in this game?
Josh put on the cape and threw for 300 yards. I think that's what this game is going to come down to. It is going to be fascinating to see the different styles of offense in this game. The Bills ran so much jumbo set, and that's their advantage, having larger human beings on the field than their opposing defense. The Chiefs are going to try and throw the ball 45 times. They don't really run the ball. They don't run the ball well. They want to get up and down the field. They want to use speed. The Bills are going to want to hand the ball to James Cook. But I don't know if you can keep pace with that. So, again, the defense looks good. That's encouraging signs. I wanted to see that they started to get things in the right direction during the bye week, that they were showing me the standard that they have become accustomed to, that we've all been, you know, all gotten used to seeing from a Bills team. But I think that Josh is going to have to make plays, that wide receivers are going to have to make catches, that Josh is going to have to make some superhero plays that we've become used to seeing. But I don't know if you can hand the ball off. I want to hand the ball off a lot to James Cook, but when it's 3rd and 8, Josh is going to have to make a play. And that's what I think this game is going to come down to.
Uncle Dan, the Chiefs are favored by a point and a half on Sunday. What kind of disrespect is being thrown Buffalo's way here?
So that was what we were looking last Thursday. The line didn't move an inch. So it was when we recorded our podcast on Thursday, we took a look ahead at the line, and DraftKings had it at Bills out as a 1.5-point dog. And we thought, well, that could obviously, those lines can change as the week goes on. And obviously the Chiefs play tonight, but the Bills put on their best performance of the season and Vegas didn't move an inch. So I think that goes again to show you that they're not necessarily totally buying the Bills' defensive performance against Andy Dalton and the Panthers. And is that a replicable formula to run against Kansas City? Now, their defense, I don't think, is what we've been used to seeing from Kansas City. Over the last 2 years, it's really been their defense, and then their offense has gotten going in the postseason because it's obviously Patrick Mahomes and things like that. But I don't think their defense is what it used to be, and I'm not going off of what they did against the Raiders, who are, you know, maybe the worst team in the NFL. So I'll be interested to see how it goes tonight. Obviously, the Commanders will at least have Debo back and Debo and Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
So they'll at least have some weapons. So kind of interested to see how that goes, but obviously no Jaden.
Dan, I think college football is drunk right now. Florida firing their head coach after a win. LSU, mind you, they're ranked. They lose the number 3 team. And, well, I guess we enjoy seeing Brian Kelly lose his job. I don't know if you saw this. LSU, there's an offshore book that has one offensive coordinator listed as the 3rd best odds to become the next head coach of the Tigers down there. Did Joe Brady miss his window last year, do you think? Or how open is it? Will he be back, do you think, next year here in Buffalo? Or do you think one of these opportunities will arise?
I think there's 3 jobs that make a lot of sense to Joe Brady. And 2 of them are in college. One obviously being LSU, and he was there, won the national championship with Joe Burrow. The other one that could kind of keep an eye on, Penn State, another offensive team that, you know, another team that has really kind of struggled offensively, can't develop quarterbacks, whether you want to call that the Pagula, you know, hey, we'll buy out James Franklin, but maybe you get the coordinator to go with it. You know, that's our guy to turn around Penn State, maybe. And the other one I do kind of keep an eye on, too, is Cincinnati. Is another place that makes sense to me with Burrow and Chase, those kind of things that Brady obviously coached in college. They've got issues defensively, but they seem a little bit stuck offensively as well at times. So those are the 3 places. I don't think he's missed his window, but he's got to improve some things. It was easy to keep hitting the James Cook button, but I also look at it as, what does he really have to call plays with? And that's a little bit of, where's this roster constructed? This has been the reason I was so upset after the Atlanta game, was that these were games that we have seen before, that we have been saying for a few years since Diggs left. Is there enough weapons around Josh Allen? It's up to Joe Brady to kind of get creative, I think, a little bit more. You know, Danger, you were saying these are the same weapons he had last year. Well, defenses also adjust. They look at the tape. They see what they've done. So it's that cat and mouse game. I was talking about it with somebody else saying, like, it's the pitcher that comes, or the hitter that comes to the MLB, gets called up and hits a few home runs off fastballs on the inside corner. And everybody's like, all right, now we got to throw him curveballs and off-speed pitches. And either that guy adjusts and stays in the big leagues, or he goes back down to AAA for the rest of his career. So those, you know, while I know that, and listen, Brandon Bean said it was a really dumb argument not that long ago to talk about wide receivers. Yeah. Well, what are we talking about right now? Right. That's where my concern is.
Before we let you go, you mentioned baseball. We got game 3 tonight, and man, as electric as game 1 was, the Dodgers well, they went full Dodgers on the Jays in game two. Yeah. What are your projections here for the rest of this series as it shifts to L.A., Dan?
I did pick the Blue Jays in six games. I love the way the Blue Jays play baseball, and it's part of that, you know, you can't change who you are as a team, and there's a big difference between regular season and postseason baseball. And game one, seeing the fact that the Blue Jays, I thought they said they had 19 pitches at one point in the game with two strikes, and they didn't strike out. They didn't have a swing and miss. Like, the Blue Jays don't strike out. They put the ball in play. They put pressure on you. It really is. This series is going to come down to bullpens. Like, both aren't good. So it's a matter of who can get to whose bullpen first and kind of get that big swing, because I think both bullpens are average at best. And obviously I'm pulling for the Blue Jays because of the hometown kid who has just been an unbelievable story in Ernie Clement. He's been 429 this postseason. It's just awesome.
Yeah, Ernie getting up there, bases loaded, just put it right back into play. Ernie Clement, fantastic. Dan, what's coming up here on 13 Wham and Buffalo Plus we can check out this week?
Yeah, Mike and Jenna were in Carolina. They have their post-game reactions. Our new podcast is up right now. We'll be catching up with some people from Kansas City. Tomorrow, Mike's doing an interview with what they're saying in Kansas City. Wednesday will be at Bill's Media Day. And then on Thursday, we have our live podcast at the Distillery on Mount Hope. 5 to 7 meet and greet with our live podcast to follow. So feel free. We've done a bunch of them now recently, and they have been a ton of fun. Would love to see everybody out there.
Awesome, Dan. Appreciate the time. Let's do it again soon.
Thanks, guys. Go Braves.
Dan Fates, 13 Wham Sports, Buffalo Plus, sharing his thoughts on the Bills 40-9 win over Carolina, looking ahead to Sunday when Kansas City comes back to Orchard Park.
Yeah, the my quick baseball take, he says Jays in seven.
He said Jays in six.
Yeah. I say Jays in seven, sorry. I don't see it in six. Here's why. That's when Yamamoto will be lined up. For that reason, I think the Jays have to actually take two of three in Los Angeles. You take one of three, and sure, you send it back to Toronto, but then you got to face a must-win with that guy in the mound in game six?
Yeah.
I'm not signing up for that.
Yeah. He's an assassin. He's a ninja. That guy is unreal this postseason. And he was almost yours, you know. He was wined. He was dined.
Steve Cohen invites him into his home.
Yeah.
They have a meal. Mm-hmm. Look like he's going to be a New York Met.
I wouldn't put this on Cohen. I just think he chose the prettier girl. I think Los Angeles is the prettier girl.
Thanks, Danger.
No, that makes me feel good. Not the team. Not the team. The atmosphere. Not the team. The coast.
Los Angeles. And yes. And you have... You have Shohei there. And
yes. I don't think you should take it personally. I think he just chose the better location. We'll obviously keep tabs on that tonight, game three from Los Angeles, as the Jays look to gain the advantage again that they had after a game one win. Man, that was exciting. I got home from the hayrides. I went to the haunted hayrides on Friday night with my daughter and her friends. We had a blast, and we're laughing, and I'm like, oh, I let them have aux in the car so they could listen to their tunes. Yeah. As soon as I got home, I turned it on, and it's tight. And I'm like, driving home, I'm like, what's the score? 2-2. I'm like, oh my God, it's tight. And I saw all of the action in time. I'm like, oh my God. For Duffy or for anybody that was at that game, what an experience, what a night, what a game to cherish. That was a lot of fun.
That will spark a whole new generation of Blue Jay fans.
No question about it.
Like, you didn't have to be up there. That came across on the screen. Same with me. I did the RIT game and got home in time just to see that whole inning unfold. Like, this is unbelievable. And, you know, credit Jim Riley, too. He said exactly. It's like, no, the Brewer plate discipline, not so great. The Jays, much better. He called it exactly what would happen.
Game. Love that. Nate Geary, the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, WGR, will be stopping by the sports bar here in about a half an hour or so. We have time for your calls if you want to join us at 866-4FAN, 866-4326. It's a Victory Monday in the sports bar, and we have more next on The Fan.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts.
Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.